As I said, Andrew's on holidays, Nathan has left, they left me to preach, so what do you do when you preach? You buy a new preaching shirt. So I went out, and I bought myself a new preaching shirt, and I broke all the rules, and I didn't go to Tarakash. So as we try this baby out tonight, let's pray. Dearly Father, we thank you that we can come here tonight, that we can celebrate the working that you have been doing in Kate and Craig's life, Lord. We pray now as we come to look at your word, Lord. We pray that you open our eyes, Lord, to what you have to say to us tonight, Lord. We pray that you encourage us, that you guide us, and that you speak through me in my weakness. We pray these things in your name. Amen. All right, Facebook is the most popular social networking site on the internet. 400 million people go on there, change photos, write stuff, interact with each other, and do my favorite thing that people do on Facebook, brain fart. They write stuff on their computer, they hit enter, and they just wish they could have it back. But not everybody on Facebook contributes, and I'd have to say I'm probably one of these people. There's people on Facebook that just hang around. They read what people have written, they look at the photos, they might not even have a profile pic, they'll have one of these little guys with the head, or they'll be like me and have the same one for the last how many years, and it's not even my head. They do all these things that Facebook doesn't want them to do. All right? Facebook has noticed this trend, and they regard it as a problem. Why? Because Facebook needs advertising revenue to survive. Okay, and then since the advertisers look at the activity that occurs on the site, and since the advertisers pay by the activity, well, they're just dead weight to them. These anonymous Facebookers just don't register in the stats. And so, they're not good for the bottom line. A little while, Facebook recognized this and came up with a solution, apparently. They have a new set of features on Facebook. I don't know what they are. I can't work them out because I don't feel guilty. But they're supposed to guilt you into being more interactive on their site. And they're supposed to shame the anonymous Facebooker into being less anonymous. Now in church, we have much the same kind of problem. I'm not just talking about our church, but many churches. People come, they sit in church, they lap up all the good things that church has to offer, the comfy pews, well, not all churches, but ours are comfy, the friendship, the social side, but they remain anonymous. They don't live out how this passage in Hebrews is calling us to. Now, one day a man came to church, and let's say that Nathan was standing at the door. He can be our preacher. He was standing at the door after the service, shaking hands as he would have done as people leave. He saw this one young man as he walked out. He grabbed him by the hand as he shook it, and he pulled him in close. And he looked him in the eyes, which would be frightening because Nathan was large, and he said, "You need to join the Lord's army, son." The guy looked back at Nathan, and then he leant in close, and he said to Nathan, "I already am." And Nathan says, "But I only see you Christmas, Easter, and when it suits you." And the guy leans in and he says, "I'm in the Secret Service." This is not what this passage in Hebrews is talking about. This is not how God called us to live. This is not how God set up church. So let's dive into this passage. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." Firstly, it says, we weren't called to be anonymous in our faith. No, we were called to have confidence and boldness. In verse 19, we have confidence to enter the most holy place by Jesus' blood. In the King James Version, it says we have boldness to enter into the most holy place. And we've got full assurance and hope in verse 22. And it says we should draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. So we have confidence, we have boldness, and we have full assurance. God has given us the ability to have unswerving hope. That's not anonymous living. That's a bold, powerful way to live. Jesus has cleared the way for us. We can have full confidence to enter into a relationship with God. We have full access to God. The curtain is gone. We no longer need the priest to intercede for us. We have Jesus. We have been washed clean. So let us draw near to God. Paul puts it this way in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and then for the Gentile. We have to hold on to the power of God. We have nothing to be ashamed of. We have something to offer the world that no one else does. Why should we be shy about it? Why would we want to be anonymous about it? Now, for the most part, I'm preaching to the choir here. Most of us are involved in some form of ministry for Christ. So if that's the way you're already living, well, be encouraged that this is how God calls you to live. And be encouraged to keep going in that way. But maybe you have slipped away a little, and this is a reminder of where God wants you to be. That he does not want you in the secret service. That he wants you in the front line, in the battle. If you are sitting here tonight and all you do is show up on a Sunday, you're going to have to ask yourself this question. Why? Why is that all you're doing? If you're not doing anything for Jesus, why? And no better time to ask yourself that than at the start of a new year when we all like to make resolutions that we don't keep, but this one that we should. And it's a great time that I made an announcement tonight. We have a ministry need. We have a massive church. Why can't we fill it? Now, I'm not going to stand here and guilt you into doing stuff for Jesus or to live for him. I'm not shaming you into it. The way that I figure it is, you are either fully sold out for Jesus and that you are doing something. Or at least you're sitting there right now and feeling maybe a little bit guilty and thinking seriously about what he's calling you to do. Now in verse 23, we are called to hold on to our hope. Let us hold on unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. The call to hold on in hope. Those who are saved have eternal life with Jesus. We can endure because our God is faithful to us. Even though at times we are unfaithful, God is always faithful and will keep us secure in him. And this should encourage us and drive us on to live for him. Now this afternoon I was downstairs in the basement and I always practice my sermons to the wall down there. If that wall's not a Christian, I don't know what's going to happen. And I was practicing my sermon and I got to this bit and I thought to myself, last week I made an announcement about heading over to Bali and trying to get people to come and join me on a trip. And then today I was talking to Ash in Bali and I was organizing the first part of the week and we were talking about doing some stuff, like doing some more, taking the guys to language school, maybe making them go and do a homestay, take them into the city to, just try and be a little bit more hardcore. And I hung up the phone and I thought to myself, do I really want to do that again? And I was just like really doubting. I'm like, I just have to put myself in that situation. And I don't know if I can do that. And I thought to myself, as I got to this point, I thought, man, I have to hold on. I have to trust that God is going to give me the strength to do that again. That he's going to show me the way that he wants me to go. Even though that I'm scared to death of doing it, I just have to hold on. And he will be faithful to me. It goes on to tell us to encourage one another. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, a friend of mine goes to this Bible study, and they ask themselves these three questions every week. One, what have you done for Jesus in the past week? Two, who have you talked to about Jesus in the past week? And three, what opportunity did you miss to serve God that you didn't take this week? Every week, they ask themselves the same questions. What have you done? Who have you talked to? And what opportunity did you miss? Now, the beauty of this is that they do it over and over and over again. So every week, they are reminding themselves how important it is to include Jesus in your life. And I think that it is a great skill to be able to do this, a great skill to be able to sit down, take the time, and look into your own life every week. And I think that here in the Western world, we don't do it enough, because we can just get by fine each week without calling on God. So I think it's important to get in this habit, even if it's these three simple questions that you ask yourself every week. Now, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burn. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So if we are disciples, we will bear much fruit. People will know who we belong to. And when we bear fruit, that will give glory to God, our Father. Jesus said, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven, in Matthew 5:16. So bearing fruit is important to Jesus. So how do we go about doing that? Well, Hebrews 10 goes on to say, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. We have just read that we have boldness, confidence, and full assurance, and an unswerving hope. Then it says that this boldness, confidence, and assurance should lead us to do what? To spur one another on in good deeds. We've just gone reading that bearing fruit is important to Jesus. It advertises who we belong to, and it glorifies God in heaven. And here in Hebrews, it tells us that our boldness in our faith should lead us to spur one another on, so that we all may bear fruit. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on to say that God has given us a tool to use, a tool to channel our boldness and fruitfulness. And do you know what that tool is? Let us not give up meeting together, as some in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Let us not give up meeting together. Church was designed by God to be a place where we interact, we challenge each other to do more good works and more great deeds in his name. I have a friend of mine that says it isn't important that they belong to any church. They have no intention of going to a church, and he's convinced that he's okay without it. Now in Ephesians 5:25 it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it," like Billy prayed before. Jesus loved the church. He gave himself for it. But my friend is saying, husbands can obey this without even spending time with their wife. And husbands can love their wives without even having a wife. They're saying they don't have to be part of Christ's bride. They don't have to spend time with her. But Jesus died establishing his church. And Paul and Barnabas and Timothy and a whole bunch of guys in the New Testament spent a great portion of their lives establishing the local church, building them up, strengthening them, selecting elders to oversee them. Now, Paul, for example, tells us how much that he endured to do this, how much he endured to get the job done. He was imprisoned, he was stoned, he was run out of town, he was in constant danger, he was often cold, hungry, thirsty, and alone. And he endured all that so he could establish, through Jesus, the church. But here is my friend saying that it doesn't matter to him because he's good enough without it. If Christ established his church and great men and women struggled to build his church, there's a reason that it exists. And that reason is to help us to be bold for Christ, to help us to be unswerving in our hope, and to help other Christians around us to spur each other on. Isn't it great to be able to encourage people in the way they look? Like saying to Jackson Buckley, "That is a nice looking beard." But building someone up in their faith and encouraging them in that way is what God is calling us to do. So I want to encourage you tonight to find someone this week, to encourage them in their faith. Tell them how you have seen them grow in their walk with Jesus. Or tell them how much you appreciate what they do in the church for us. And you will not believe what that will do for someone. As they could be doing it tough, or they could be unsure what they're doing is really worth it. God can use your words to build them up in him. I try to encourage my youth team all the time to encourage one another. I try to set them tasks to do this. And I want us to think about this as a church tonight. Is this an area as a church that we could really grow in? Is it somewhere this year that we could really step up? That we could really just let it start flowing out of us? That we are thinking about investing in each other and encouraging others? So I encourage you to do whatever it takes. Does it take setting a reminder once a week, just once a week, for it to go off, for you to SMS a brother and a sister and encourage them with some encouraging words, even if it is just that you are praying for them? But are you waiting, expecting other people to encourage you? We are called to be encouragers of the faith, and we need to step out and do this. Now, one other way that we can encourage people in their faith is to have great faith of your own. There is nothing that encourages me more or pumps me up more than seeing someone live their life out for Christ, seeing someone take bold steps for Jesus, seeing someone serve someone else, seeing God use them. That lifts me up. It builds me up. So please don't underestimate what living your life for Christ can do for someone else, without even speaking. Maybe God is using you to encourage other people. Maybe he's using you to lead the way for other people. Now, it's encouraging tonight to see Kate and Craig step up and pack their lives up into two boxy things and head off where it is not comfortable and serve God no matter what the cost. Now, I don't know about you, but that encourages me. And it makes me have a look at myself and ask myself questions. Do I have that kind of faith? Am I willing to do that myself? all because of the way they're choosing to live. So they are spurring me on, and I hope they are spurring you on to walk with Jesus more. Now, this world is hard sometimes, and we get discouraged easily. But be encouraged that Jesus is coming, and all the more as you see the day approaching. It says in 1 Thessalonians, it says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangels and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." So let me encourage you with these words, that Jesus is coming. He's coming up to take us home. And we should live accordingly while we wait for him. So God has called us tonight through this passage to draw near to him. That through Jesus, we can do this. That we are to hold on to our hope. Hope that we have in Christ because God is faithful to us. And he will not let us go. And lastly, we are to encourage one another. We are to love and serve each other. And do all this while pointing to Jesus. So may this year be a year where you take steps of faith, that you live full on sold out for Christ in all that you do. Don't be someone that sits here anonymously. Why don't you make it a year that you ask yourself these three questions and see what God does in you. 1. What have you done for Jesus this week? 2. Who have you talked to about Jesus in this past week? 3. What opportunity did you miss to serve God that you didn't take? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that you challenge us through it. And I pray for courage, wisdom, and strength for us as a church tonight, Lord, that as we leave this place, that you will remind us of how faithful you are to us, Lord, that you will hold on to us, Lord, and that you have called us to live bold and confident lives in you. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks.